Welcome, hustlers, players, and squares. You are now tuned in to the W. James Dennis Podcast. All things game, all the time. Sit back and soak it up. www.wjamesd.com. Now, let's get in motion. Welcome. You are now tuned in to the W. James Dennis Podcast, one of the most diverse podcasts in the world, along with my blog. We cover a wide variety of topics from self-empowerment, business, having a wealth mindset, the dynamics between men and women, so-called positive thinking, so-called street knowledge. We talk about progressing in life, getting the things that you want, and so much more. And we do all of this through the perspective of what I call uncommon sense. It's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that has been kept from many of you. Now, this is a Ask a Hustler podcast, but I did want to kind of change the format a little bit. Normally, my Ask a Hustler podcasts are questions that I get via email, or maybe I'm doing a consultation over the phone, or just people I'm talking to in everyday life. And, you know, I'll pick out questions that I think I can answer that will that I can kind of build on and give to people just in general on some game. So this time I wanted to kind of switch up the format a little bit. And this is going to be a live Q&A. So I got my man Tommy. He's on the phone, on speakerphone, and he has a series of questions. I don't know what the questions are. I just told him to make some questions, so we're just going to run it like that. And this is kind of more in the tradition of how the game used to be taught. So back in the day, they used to have an expression called kicking it. Now, kicking it back then and for the game, it doesn't mean what it means today. Kicking it today is more like, you know, let's chill at the house and, you know, drink or smoke or whatever you do, watch TV, waste time or whatever. But originally, kicking it meant that, you know, players would get together and kick game back and forth, you know, kind of sharpen each other's sword, help fill game leaks and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, this live Q&A is kind of in the spirit of that. So, as always, if you have any questions about any of my books, podcasts, blogs, or anything of that nature, you can always hit up my email at wjamesdennis@gmail.com. That's wjamesdennis@gmail.com. And my man Tommy, are you there, sir?
Hey, yeah. What's going on, my brother?
All right, man. So let's go ahead and get into it. What's your first question?
First off, I just want to, say thank you for having the opportunity to speak with you about certain things. But we can go ahead and get right into it. Pimping is one of the world's oldest professions.
Most definitely.
Why do you think it became illegal and is now looking or being seen in a negative light?
Okay, that's a good question. Because in order, when we talk about the game, as you already know, we're talking about a structure of power. So in order for you to have power, people have to give you power. The game has always been and always will have to work through people. You know what I'm saying? Even when we talk about the foundation of the game, which is self-empowerment, which is empowering yourself. But once you're empowered, even then, you know, you still have to involve other people at some point. If you have, especially if you have very ambitious goals or you have a life purpose for yourself. So anything that has in its core power and somebody recognizes that, but they cannot participate in it, then they put a control on it. So as far as pimping goes and sex, which is the oldest profession, I mean, you can go back before the Bible. You know, they got prostitutes in the Bible even before that, if you know, depending on what perspective you're coming from, religious perspective or just a regular historical perspective. But it has to be controlled. They have to control it. So when you talk about social conditioning, the morals and values that we're programmed with growing up, especially here in the West, sex is kind of looked down upon. It's kind of given to you as taboo. You know what I'm saying? You can learn about it, but it's nothing you should really be doing. Although, by nature, biologically, males and females, you know, once puberty hit, you can't stop some of them thoughts if you want to, especially for you know, a young boy. It's very strong instinct in us. And it's actually this instinct that allows us to reproduce. I mean, that's, you know, you have to have that drive for that, for a reproduction aspect. And then if you can bring in religion as well, you know, you shouldn't have sex before you're married, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the core of it, man, we've been taught that sex is just this dreadful thing. And then you're going to turn around and have a woman getting money or getting compensated to do it. Like, oh, you know, now you're involved in two different types of power structures. You know, because if you can control finance and then you also control sex. But they'll do that and then turn right around and tell you that sex sells.
Right.
Peep the game in that. They'll tell you this is bad, and they'll turn around and then tell you sex sells. Because sex sells. So you're getting two different contradictory messages. What are they doing? It's game.
Right.
At a higher level of the game, you want to keep people out of what gives you power so you can maintain control and power. This is why in the game on a very basic level, we talk about self-empowerment, empowering yourself, obviously. So you see yourself as a king or queen, the highest level manager in your kingdom, which is your life, right? So at a higher level, you have actual people that have a lot of power over a lot of people, and they need to place controls as much as possible to keep feeding the system. They talked about in the movie The Matrix. What is The Matrix? Well, it's a system of control. Control of what? Control over thinking. And making sure that the thinking and thoughts feed into a main system to keep it running. In The Matrix, the movie The Matrix, they described it as a battery. You're using your energy to keep the machines running, the illusion running.
Right.
And The Matrix itself keeps the mind occupied. It's the same principle. You know, we are given things to keep our minds occupied. And while we're occupied, we're still feeding the system because they disempower us. If I accept that something is wrong based on what somebody else tells me, then it might not feel wrong for me as an individual. It might feel wrong to somebody else. But if you just make a blanket, this is wrong. This is where we get into social conditioning. And this is where a lot of our problems lie, especially as players. Because as a player, you're starting to pull yourself away from social conditioning. You're starting to question, like, man, where did I get this idea? Since we're on the subject, where did I get this idea that sex is bad or sex is wrong or something I should be ashamed of? Is that how I honestly feel? Or did that come from somewhere else and I just accepted it? You know, what our minds agree to, that is how we operate. You operate based off of the agreements that you make in your mind. So if you agree in your mind as an individual, if you agree that sex is bad, then you will make decisions to avoid it. You will make decisions to turn away from it. And it creates this sense of shame, especially when you have to have that inner battle with yourself. So let's say you agree in your mind that sex is bad and shameful. So you're going down the street, you see an attractive young lady, and of course your biological natural instincts as a human are going to spark. So you're going to be like, dang, man, she's really attractive. You might like the way her booty look. You might like her eyes. You might like the way her breasts look or whatever. That sexual impulse hits. And then because you've agreed to social conditioning, you will try, your mind will fight against that. And you'll have this inner battle in your mind. And this is inner turmoil. When you have inner turmoil, you are disempowered. You're actually stripping yourself of power, or allowing yourself to be stripped of power, self-power. You cannot advance successfully in life if you have a lot of inner turmoil, because there's no clarity there. It's just confusion. You don't know what to do, when to do it. Even if you get inspiration to do something, you'll shut it down. And all this is based on fear. If I can get you to be scared of something, or scared to do something, or scared to think a certain way, then I control the way you think. So going back to your question, this being the oldest profession, moralistically, and even from some religious aspects, you can say that's just a terrible, dreadful thing. But when you expand your perspective, you were like, it's one of the most natural things in the world. It allows the human race to continue to exist. So when we talk about pimping, you know, you get pimped at your job. You don't look at yourself as a hoe, but you're a hoe. What are you doing? You're taking your time and energy and skills to keep another person in power. That's the essence of pimping.
Church.
But you don't look at that as being moralistically wrong. No, a player, we look at it a little bit different. Like, it's slavery. You know what I'm saying? It's slavery. I just don't feel right. But that's the essence of this. It's just a big game that they play. And what a player knows or should know is that you have to start shedding yourself of these things, or at the very least, start to question these things. Like, why do I accept this? Why do I feel this way? Where did this come from? You know what I'm saying? Is this coming from me, or is it coming from what I've been taught? Just like I can point up at the sky in the daytime and I say, well, what color is the sky? And you say it's blue. Well, somebody told you that was blue. How do you know that's blue? You just made an agreement in your mind that in the English language, that color is blue. And then science will go and tell you that, well, colors really don't exist. They're just interpretations by the brain for the reflection of the light waves through your eyes. And then your brain interprets it. You know what I'm saying? So somebody just named it. And you have hundreds and millions of people that agree that that color is blue. But you don't really know. You know, same thing with getting this information, this game, which is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. When you first start getting this knowledge, it's cool when a lot of people just hang on to the information. But to really get game, you have to start using this information, because you need to have and place yourself into certain experiences so you know. So you know for yourself. Now, and this, I'm kind of getting off track here, but let me just say this real quick. So let's say one of my books, the Max Bible. The Max Bible. Now, if you go through the Max Bible, there are a ton of techniques and exercises in that book. But if you just read the book, then, and you might say, okay, it's deep, man. Okay, I got something from it. But you'll never receive the full benefit of it if you don't go through the exercises. Matter of fact, if you don't use the information in that book, how do you know that stuff even works? How do you know? Until you put yourself in the position to have the experience to find out if it works or if it doesn't work. I can claim something works all day, but you need to know. That's knowledge and wisdom, knowing how and when to use knowledge. And then you get the understanding, which is, of course, the marriage of knowledge and wisdom. When you actually really know and you have confidence in what you know. Okay, I know I went all around in a big old circle, man, with your question.
Nah, bro, that was a lot of game right there, for real,
All right, man. My bad, player. Go ahead with your next question, man.
My next question is, they say the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Why do you think most people never elevate to their true potential?
Okay, and again, it goes back to social conditioning, disempowerment. I can't have, if I'm in a system, in a place of control or a place of power, and my power is predicated on other people, then I need to have those people think along the lines I want them to think. Otherwise, they're going to pull apart. So when you look at the game from historical, let's just take it off of the street layers. Let's take it away from hustling, macking, and pimping. Let's just look at the game from where it came from throughout history, you know, going all the way back. So today we have the Yakuza, which is a Japanese criminal organization. You have the Chinese Triad, which is a criminal organization. You have the original Sicilian Mafia, which is run differently than what's over here in America. You got Russian Mafia. I mean, you have all these criminal organizations. Now, a lot of these criminal organizations, they came from a more, for lack of a better term, they came from a spiritual basis. Before the Chinese Triad existed, it was the White Lotus Society. And all this, you can Google this stuff yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Matter of fact, anybody listening to this, I don't want you to take my word for it. Go do some research. So the Chinese Triad came from a spiritually based way of living and life. And the White Lotus Clan broke away from the emperor and they went to go live amongst themselves. They established their own structure of power based off of what? What they agreed to. Their codes, their principles, their standards, and the lifestyle that they all agreed to live. They made their own power structure. Now, as the emperor, you can't have that. You can't have somebody just break away and go do their own thing, because in the eyes of the average person, it looks like you're losing power. So you have to go regulate. And that's what they did. They went and killed hundreds and thousands of the White Lotus Society. So as these groups broke up into like little splinter groups, you have a lot of people that are like destitute and poor. What do poor people do? Well, they're going to find a way to not be poor. So this is where the criminal element started coming in. So they had the knowledge, but the way they chose to apply it became criminal. So you have like extortion, gambling, and things of this nature. That's where that stuff came from. So it started off as a spiritual basis. And then when the human need came in, that's when the criminal element started. And the same thing happened with the Yakuza, which is today is a Japanese criminal organization. That's how that started. You know what I'm saying? They started off as they had a code of the samurai, which was what? It was codes, rules, regulations. It had a metaphysical element to it, a spiritual element to it. And then you had those that broke away from the samurai and they, you know, started getting into gambling. It's the same story in all these different parts of the world. And here's something interesting. You have Japanese Yakuza. And when you see them, they have tattoos all over their body. You see the Chinese Triad. They have tattoos all over their body. You see the Russian Mafia. They have tattoos all over their body. Now, how do we, are we in different parts of the world, and the Sicilian Mafia, they don't go to the extent of that, but they have tattoos as well. So you see this kind of synchronicity throughout all these different parts of the world. And I'm just touching on what's over there. So where did that culture come from? Where did that come from? Because those tattoos are symbols, and each of those tattoos represents something to that culture, to that lifestyle. Where did they get that idea from? How can I be in Russia, Japan, China, and Italy, and they all have a similar way of expressing themselves or tattooing themselves with different symbols? Where did that come from? So that was the original game. So when you bring it over here, when it hit Europe and then came over here to America, and there were also players in Africa, but when it came over here to America, what we got was the lower level of it, the street levels of it, or it became street. So again, it's the same thing. A group of people getting together, finding a way to empower themselves. And when you don't have anything, you have to position yourself to have something. You know what I'm saying? So that's where the street layers of the game came in. So you had your hustlers, which were originally gamblers. And then, you know, they expanded to different types of things to try to extract money in a very clever way. Not just go run somebody down and shoot something up. It wasn't gangster. It was organized and very slick. Same thing with pimping. And macking and pimping back then were synonymous. Macking's a little bit different in the modern day. But back then they were pretty much synonymous. And macking and pimping came from the way we have it today. It came from Europe. It came from France, actually. The word mac actually comes from, I can't pronounce the word, but it's French. It actually came from the French word of mackerel, the fish. Because the whole houses used to be down by the docks. So when the fishermen came in, they used to go to the whole house. And even here in America, in the Old West, the whole house wasn't nothing bad. Everybody hung out at the whole house. Mayor, sheriff, deputies. So I'm saying it was just a place to be. But when you see that you're losing control, you need to put a control on it. Same thing happened. Like black people, we used to run numbers back in the day. And we used to have a large degree a large degree of control over that. It was almost like an industry. You understand what I'm saying? And what happened to it? They shut it down. Then what did they do? They took the concept and structured it so they have power. And today we just call it the lottery. Same exact game. Same thing. They have it and now we don't. Who's running game on who? You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. You go ahead with your next question.
Anything that we can do, they make it legal.
It's crazy, bro, because car loan places, you know, car title loans, that's an old game that we used to run.
Like insurance.
Huh?
I feel like insurance is a scam, too.
All that stuff,
car
man.
All this insurance.
Yeah, because you're constantly paying out. If you're constantly paying out, and if you have about as much money coming in and as much money as you're paying out, financially, it's hard to advance. Now, actually, let me go back to your question, because your question was actually about the mind. But all this stuff traps the mind. It limits your thinking. And this is what the game was designed to do, expand your thinking. That's why the game has metaphysical elements in it. I'll just use the term metaphysics, which just means beyond the physical. It has metaphysical elements in it because it came from an older system. And this system was designed to free your mind, to unlimit yourself and to see yourself as having potential. Not the potential somebody else told you that you have, but the potential that you actually have in you. And every human being on the planet has potential. Now, this is kind of getting away from the subject, but it's still relevant. You know, us as human beings, we are just naturally drawn towards certain things, just naturally. And it's different for everybody. You know, we'll sit and we'll just be like, ooh, and ah, when you see this 5-year-old playing a piano at almost a master level, you'd be like, oh my God, there's just something in him that just knows, that's just musically inclined. And we're fascinated, you know what I'm saying, by that. And it's something to marvel at. But every human being on the planet is naturally drawn towards certain things. This is where the saying came from, actually. The game has to be in you and not on you. There's something, every person that's attracted to this information, there's something in them that makes them attracted to this information. There's something in them. And it's like you hear the information, and it's just something in you that just be like, I don't know why that made so much sense to me. I don't know why it sounds right, but you just know that it's right. It just feels right and you can't explain it. And that's because there's something in you that knows this stuff already. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to comprehend it. This is where the game gets into the metaphysics. But it's something in you that already knows. So I'll just use myself in an example. Like, say, when I write a book, for instance, and you read it and you're like, oh, you know, you enjoy it. You got something out of it, motivation or, you know, whatever you get out of it. But you agree with it in some form or fashion is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's because I'm speaking, or I do my best to speak to something inside of the people that have this game in them, that energy in them, or spirit, or whatever term you want to call it. I'm speaking to that within them. So when you read it, you're like, something just clicks. And you immediately understand it. Like, it just makes immediate sense to you. How does that work? How does a five-year-old play a piano at a master level? How does somebody just can get into a sport and just excel? You know what I'm saying? There's something in them that's just they just naturally drawn to certain things, and every human being is. But if I have limited thinking capability, even if that attraction, that desire comes up, I'll shut it down, either based off of fear or based off of just thinking that it's not possible, or thinking that it might be wrong, or you fear what other people will say, or you fear what other people will think. That is limited thinking. I just made a blog post about this. It's actually negative thinking, according to the definition of the word in the dictionary. Whenever you negate something or deny something, that is negative. Therefore, if you negate and deny what's in you, you're actually negative thinking. So again, we go back to what I was talking about earlier. You have this inner turmoil going on in your own head. Some people have an inner turmoil trying to figure out what to wear for the day. You know what I'm saying? In the closet for like 10 minutes trying to pick out one outfit. So when you're not clear on what you're doing, then you're limiting yourself. And this is like taking a water hose with water running through it, and you bend it. It cuts off the flow. When you cut off the flow, you cut off the power. This is self-empowerment. You're taking the bends and all the cramps out the hose so the water can run through like it's supposed to. That's the power. But you have to find it first. You need to find where those cramps. First, you need to find the hose. You need to understand what the problem is, why the water's not coming out. First, you need to do that. Then you need to find out where these cramps are in your water hose so you can let the water run through. So it's a process. It's a process. And this is why the game takes you, the you think you are, back to the real you. And when you can operate from the real you, that's where the power comes from. It doesn't come from calling yourself a player, because I can put on a white jacket and put a stethoscope around my neck, you know, and I look like a doctor. But if somebody asked me to do some doctor stuff, I couldn't do it. But I look like a doctor. So it's not just taking these sayings. It's not just taking the information and just using it and saying it to feel cool. No, you need to actualize this stuff. You need to use it because you're drawn to it for a reason. So the power comes from getting back to who you really are. Then you can start getting away from confusion. Like, to able to sit down and honestly say that I don't like this, but I do like this. And then having the power to do that, regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what anybody else thinks, just being you. And because of the way we've been programmed and have been taught to limit ourselves, that's a very difficult thing for a lot of people to do. Just be themselves. It really is. So that gets into the programming. We can go to the Matrix with that one. That's the program. What's a pro? You know, these are all these different programs running. What's a job? Think about this for a second. Let's talk about the Matrix real quick. Let me jump to your next question. But what's a job? A job is a program. A program runs and it has limitations. There's only so much you can do within a program. Talking about like a computer program. So there's only so much you can do with a computer program. So if we're talking about Microsoft Windows, for instance, and we have Microsoft Office. So you have a program in there called Word. Now, Word has a lot of power. It has a lot of potential. You can do a lot of stuff in Word, but you can't take the program Word and try to make an MP3 with it. The program's not designed for that. You have to operate within the structure of the program. If you try to operate outside of the structure of the program, it's not going to work. So the programs running through the matrix, and there's a lot, I'm not going to give them all, but these programs running through the matrix, job is one of them. You are putting yourself into a limited space where your entire, well, a large part of your entire day is dictated by somebody else. You're taking your time, your mental energy, your physical energy, and giving it to somebody else. And while you're at your job, you have to do, if you value your job, you have to do what you're told. You know what I'm saying? No, you can't, depending on what kind of job you got, no, you can't go on break right now. Oh, you know, my son, yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, my son's about to graduate kindergarten. No, we need you to come to work that day. You can't do that. Think about that for a second.
It'd be so much stuff you want to do, but you obligated to get that.
Right. Because that's what you agreed to. You know what I'm saying? So, but you're operating within a program. And that program programs you. Check this out. You have, the game is information. Listen to the word. Information. To inform. That's the root word of the word information. So that's to inform. But let's break it down even further. You have the word in, and then you have the word form. So what you take in is forming you inside. What you take in is forming you inside. It's forming the way you think. So if all you do, for instance, is watch TV all day, you are literally taking in and being formed by something outside of you.
That's why they call it a TV program, huh?
Exactly. They tell you what it is. This is a TV program. And the volume of a TV program is lower than a commercial. Why is that? Because they need it to get inside a deeper part of your mind to program you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go there with it. If anybody got questions about it, just email me, because that's some higher level game. But you know what I'm saying? You're being formed inside from something outside of you. And very few people will take it upon themselves to form themselves with the best information. You have to learn things. You got to take in things from outside of you. That's just a reality. Let's not, you know, take this to an ignorant level. You got to learn something. You got to get something from outside of you. But as a player, what you're looking for, since you understand that concept, as a player, what you're looking for is the best information, so you can utilize it for the best result. If you're taking in weak information, misinformation, garbage information, then that's what you're going to form. And when you try to use it, you're going to get weak results, no results, bad results, or garbage results. And then you're going to sit back and wonder, like, dang, why am I not progressing in life? Because of the way you think and the way you've allowed yourself to be formed inside, to be informed. In other words, to basically be programmed. Period. So all these games running, man, politics, the media, these are higher level games, politics, media, law, all these higher level games that keep you in a structure, that keep you programmed, and you fear stepping outside of that program. You fear it. The average person, they're scared of it. You gotta free your mind, Neo. You know what I'm saying? Alright, go ahead with your
red pill or the blue pill.
Exactly. Go ahead with your next question, please.
Yeah, man. I stepped away from my seat, but anyway, next good, question. Some people get success mixed up with what it ain't. People think it's like materialistic thing. Like, explain like what success really is.
No, success, the best definition I've ever heard of success, there's an old recording, man, and it's actually called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. It's old, but you can still get it. Yeah, you can get it for free. You know, go to YouTube, you can get it for free. And the definition he gave of success, which he got from somebody else, but success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Now, let's break that down. The way I teach it is, first you need to have a clear intention. What is an intention? An intention is what you want your final outcome to be. So if you have a clear idea or concept of what you want your final outcome to be, and you're progressively working toward that, when you hit that point, actually, even just working toward it makes you successful, because the average person won't even do that. They'll think about it, but they won't act on it. So even just working toward a clear intention or a clear ideal is being success. And then once you achieve that ideal, you get that outcome, that's successful. And that could be anything based upon how you think and agree to in your mind. If it's something... but from my perspective, I would consider small. If it's something like getting a new, refrigerator for your house, you know, which is very simple to do. But even that, if you get the actual refrigerator you want, the one you looked up and found the prices, found out where it is, you save the money for it or whatever, or you have the credit to go get it or finance it or however you do it, and that's the exact refrigerator you want, that is your intention, that is your final outcome, and you're able to secure that, you're successful. You're successful. Now, on a bigger scale, of course, there's bigger things and grander things to talk about. But if your idea, again, we're talking about being programmed or, you know, and having and accepting, I should say, accepting and agreeing to social conditioning and social morals, right? If your idea of success is just material possessions, then again, we go back to the same problem. You're disempowering yourself because you are trying to have so you can feel like you are somebody. It don't work like that. You need to be somebody first, and then you go get what you want. Because any successful, and I've hung around ex-athletes, I've hung around multimillionaire hustlers, street hustlers. I've hung around multimillionaire legitimate businessmen. And they'll tell you, like, man, you know, I got this new car, and they enjoy it for a month or two. After the thrill is gone, they're looking for something else. Then they're looking for something else. They get that, then they're looking for something else. A lot of these, musicians and stuff like that, they reach the height of fame. And then some of them become drug addicts. Like, what? How does that work? Like, man, you have fame, you got money, you got women all over you. I mean, this is the ideal life for some people, but they're still looking for something higher. You understand what I'm saying? So, although they got the material possessions, inside they're not satisfied. So, everything we do in the game comes from a center. If the center is wrong, everything that extends from that center is wrong. If the center is weak, everything that extends from that center is going to be weak. And what's the center? You. So if you look around you right now, every single thing in physical existence is a certain distance from you. You are literally at the center of your own world. Everything is literally at this moment, whether you can see it or not, is revolving around you. where you're standing at or sitting at, or if you're riding your car right now, everything's revolving around you. So you're on the inside looking out. So people are trying to take away what's in you instead of identifying what's in you. And then like, okay, I really want this, not because I was told I should have it, but I really like that. If you're moving from that center, that's the power. That's where the power comes from. Because it's you. You identify you first. You know, you know that old principle, know thyself. Well, there's a reason for that, because that's where your power is at. So if you're operating, if your center is really you, you're operating from that, then everything you go after, you have a power behind it. It's just like I have a microwave, right? Now, the microwave can do a lot of things. It has a lot of potential for power. But if I don't plug it into a light socket, electrical socket, it's not going to do anything. If I can have the most expensive, baddest car in the world, but if I don't put gas in it, it's not going to move. So this is the same thing with self-empowerment. If I don't know who I am first and I'm trying to accomplish things, I'm operating with no power. I have a microwave, but I'm not plugging it into anything. So your life purpose, if you have one, all your goals, they need to be plugged into something, the electrical outlet. And that is the real you. That's you operate from the inside out, or inner game, outer game, inner game, outer game, not outer game. And now let me try to do something or be something. No, be something first. It's not about what you have. It's about what's in your mind. This is all mental. This is all mental. The entire game, and I've said this many, many times, the game is part psychology, part sociology, and yet something more. What's the something more? Well, that goes into what we call fourth dimension. I'm not going to go into that, but that's what we go into, fourth dimension. But we all, most human beings, stay trapped in third dimension. But there's a dimension outside of this, and I'm just using that term just so it's a general term. People can kind of get at least an idea of what I'm trying to say. And let me just give you an example of this. In your mind, right now, as you're listening to this and you're listening to what I'm saying, you're also thinking, right? So they say you have five physical senses, but one of those five physical senses is hearing. But in your mind, you can hear yourself think, but you're not using your physical senses. You're not using the physical sense of hearing. You're not using the physical sense of hearing, so how can you hear your thoughts or what you're thinking? You can have a whole conversation in your head and hear both sides, but you're not using your physical sense of hearing. So that means you have other senses. Where do those other senses reside? That's when we start getting into the metaphysics of the game. That's when we start getting to high advanced level game. All right. But I'll go ahead with your next question, player.
Yeah, man, that was some deep shit, man. And on that level, in your book, Max Bible, you made a reference to Adam and Eve, which he was talking about, like the mind, like Eve being the weaker mind, and Adam. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So when we talk about Adam and Eve in the Bible, and to a lesser degree, also the Quran. But when we talk about that, when we look at it from a perspective of the original game, the original game looks at things in symbology. And the reason they look at things in symbology is because it is through symbols that allow things to go into the deeper part of your mind. Now, everybody knows that, because you see logos. Like if you see a golden arch, you immediately think McDonald's. You see the golden arch, you immediately think McDonald's. Those golden arches are a symbol. They represent everything McDonald's is telling you they represent, and not all of it's true. But whatever they tell you it represents, when you see the golden arches, that's McDonald's. When you see the apples, a little apple sign, that's the company Apple. So those are symbols. And these symbols create shortcuts or patterns within your mind. I spoke about that a little bit in Revealing the Secrets of the Game. But the symbols provide shortcuts. So, excuse me. So when we look at the symbology of Adam and Eve, we're looking at symbols. So the way we take it is Adam was a strong or dominant mental frame of mind. He had dominion given to him by God. He had dominion over everything. That's a lot of power. Just a lot of power. Like, you're in charge of everything down here. Have at it. A lot of power. So that's a dominant frame of mind. So then you have Eve, his mate, created from him. Whenever you extract something from a source or replicate it, it becomes weaker. This is a scientific fact. Or even if you're into music, you know, if you constantly duplicate, if you take something that's not digital, even to a certain degree, digital stuff, the quality of it degenerates over time. But if you're old school enough and you remember cassettes, you know that if you had an original cassette and you made a duplicate, the sound quality wasn't as good. Then if you made a duplicate of the duplicate, the sound quality got even worse. You know what I'm saying? And this is when you take something original and you make a copy of it. Okay? It becomes weaker. So this, remember, we're just talking symbolism, Adam and Eve. So you had Adam, who had dominion over everything, power. Then Eve was taken from him. From him. Not created separately, taken from him. So it's a copy of the domination or the dominant frame of mind, the power of the mind. And she was made for him to in a form of what was supposed to be cooperation. Supposed to be. So then you have the symbol of the serpent, which religious interpretation, okay, that's the devil or Shaitan or Nakas or, you know, whatever name you want to give it, depending on the religious viewpoint and perspective you're coming from. We'll just call him the serpent. So then you have the serpent, which, by the way, was also created by God. Devil had to come from somewhere. If God created everything, then God had to create the devil too. Okay? So now you have a serpent who weaseled his way into the garden. And who did he approach? He didn't approach the dominant frame of mind. He went for the weaker state of mind. And he was able to convince Eve or cause an emotional reaction based off of weakness. And then Eve took that idea and then gave it to the dominant frame of mind, and the dominant frame of mind became a weaker state of mind. So instead of having a balance, a form of cooperation between Adam and Eve to have dominion or power over everything, you now have two weaker frames of mind that were done in by something outside of them, something that came outside from the garden. Peep the symbolism in this. Something that came from outside of the garden who did not have the best interest in mind. So let's take the symbolism of that and let's stick it to the mind. Now, I have an audio lesson called How to Reprogram Your Mind for Greatness, a beginner's guide. Something real simple if this is new information for a lot of people. But you have two different minds. You have two different minds that see things almost totally opposite. Let me give you an example. Then I'll continue with the symbolism. But let me give you an example. Let's say you never had a business before. And then that's something in you that you're attracted to. You're like, man, it would be nice to have my own business. Then you start doing a little research and you come up on a few things, some ideas, and you start getting excited. You're like, oh, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. And then, you know, you start getting energized and you start getting excited and you start seeing potential benefits. And you're crunked up. You're happy for a day, two, 3 days. And then what happens? The weaker side of your mind kicks in. Well, you know, we never had a business before. This might not be a good idea. How are you going to get customers? Where are we going to get the money? How are you going to go talk to people and meet people? You already have a full-time job. When are you going to find the time? You know, we might fail. this might not be a good idea. Maybe we should just go ahead and not do this at all. That's the weaker frame of mind, right? Based off of external, which you just talked about earlier, based off of external factors, programming to make you think, or well, at least the weaker side of your mind, to make the weaker side of your mind think that possibly, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Fear, in other words, fear, scared to get outside of your comfort zone or your little box. To get outside of your box, the lower or weaker aspect of your mind wants to keep you safe. That is its job. And since it wants to keep you safe, it wants to keep you physically safe, your body. It also wants to keep your mind safe. So it will not allow you to, when you start thinking outside of the box, it's going to try to snap you back inside the box. I was like, oh, I don't know if we need to start thinking like that. That's a little weird. Maybe that's wrong. And you shut it down. You understand? Your lower or weaker side of your mind, it wants to keep you comfortable. So although you might not feel comfortable, the lower aspect of your mind says, well, dang, we've been surviving this way all our life. Maybe this is the best way. And then your stronger, more dominant side of your mind is like, no, man, I want increase. I want a better car. You know, some people have a natural desire to excel in a career. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you agree to. Some people want their own business. Some people want a nice house. Some people want to go on, you know, 3 or 4 vacations a year. You know what I'm saying? That dominant side of your mind wants increase for you. But your other side of your mind is going to shut it down because it wants to keep you safe. It wants to keep you from embarrassing situations. It wants to keep you away from as much as it can. It's trying to shield you. And there's also a higher level to this understanding, but let's just keep it simple. So you have this inner battle in your head, in your mind, from two different minds. All day, every day, if you have, you know, ambitions. And, you know, and nobody's immune. When I went to do my first speaking engagement, you know, I'm like, dang, man, I went through everything mentally that everybody else would go through. Like, dang, man, is any, you know, how am I going to be good? Am I going to be stuttering over my words? Am I going to be nervous? Am I going to, you know, am I going to keep the audience engaged? Like, dang, man, maybe this public speaker thing might not be for me. You know what I'm saying? It's just, this is two minds fighting. One saying, you know what? Let's at least give this a try. The other one saying, nah, this might not be a good idea. Which one do you listen to? Well, the one you listen to is the one, based on your decisions, that's the one you listen to. So if, just using myself as an example, if I would have never at least even tried to public speak, you know what I'm saying? I would have probably never public speak. If I would have never at least tried to publish a book, then that book in me, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people would have never came across that information. And this is true for every human being on the planet. So, Adam and Eve. Two different aspects of mind that are supposed to be cooperating, not in conflict. Cooperating. If they were cooperating, then they would have what? Dominion. What were they not supposed to touch? The tree of knowledge.
Knowledge.
The tree of knowledge. They, you know what I'm saying? And then we can get into, you know, the different symbolism of when they did eat the fruit. These human attributes of shame is one of them, because they realized all of a sudden their eyes were opened. And according to the Bible, they became as gods, knowing good from evil. Right? So, you know, one of the first attributes, they noticed they were naked. So that's a human attribute of shame. And then God confronted Adam and he's like, you know, didn't I command you not to eat of the fruit? And then he passed the buck. He like, oh, well, the woman you gave me, you know, the woman you gave me that, you know, she made me do it. You know what I'm saying? And you start getting all these weak human attributes. You know what I'm saying? And the game looks at those as symbols as well. And then we have the serpent. something outside that was allowed to come inside and program or cause confusion or dissension. And of course, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Being confused instead of having a clear intention and being clear on what you want. You know what I'm saying? Same thing. This is all game, man. This is all mental.
Yeah, man. I was just thinking, like, man, why they don't be teaching like this in church? Like, the way you put it with Adam and Eve, like, you making them references, like, I understand that. Church is like, I don't know.
But not, you know. I mean, they have an agenda, man. They have an agenda.
Not to get religious or nothing, you know. But, right. You know.